morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are you?
Warm and busy.
Absolutely. This good is weather. Some serious house selling weather, and it has just been a great run. And I mean, this is one of those beautiful times of the Tri-Cities that we like to enjoy. As always, too, with us our in-house lending specialist, Mr. Tom Coyne at Umpqua. Tom, how are you?
Lance, I'm doing fantastic. We're seeing rates tick up a little bit, so it's kind of creating a little bit of panic with our borrowers. But fortunately, we're getting them locked in. We don't have to weather that storm of potentially rates going up further. So we'll talk about that today.
Okay, absolutely. I'm excited to kind of get a handle on that and see exactly how things are going there. Well, we always like to start off with our crazy national real estate story, and we kind of look and see some houses or some events and try to relate that back to real estate. And if anybody out there watched the big fight last weekend,
I think a few people might have watched that.
I think a few people might have. So let's go with the headline that caught my eye off of Zillow this week was Mayweather didn't drop Pacquiao, but he has to keep dropping his penthouse price. So he has currently Mayweather is there in Las Vegas, calling Las Vegas home. And he has a condo out of Florida, a penthouse condo that just says, once again, kind of life changes. His kids are getting older, wants them to be more in a house type situation. So he has a penthouse condo down there in Florida, and he has had to drop that from $2.6 million all the way to now $1.99 million. So that's a 3,000 square foot, four bedroom, five bathroom condo. And if anybody feels bad about him having to do that price drop, hopefully the $100 million that he picked up this last weekend will help ease a little bit of that pain there, Tom.
You know, I don't feel bad for him at all, believe it or not.
You know, I didn't think you were going to.
No, not even a little bit when I
read the story. So, very interesting. Also to note that Pacquiao just recently picked up Sean Diddy Combs' former house. So apparently he didn't do too bad either in anticipation of the fight. There might have been even a pre-fight bonus that seems to correlate to real estate purchases. Yeah. in the area for sure. So that is our celebrity real estate news, timely there after the big Las Vegas fight. Now, back to our local topic. One of the things that we always like to do is say, what's happening in the local market and how is that affecting our real estate prices? What are we seeing here now today that is causing the local market? I was very, very fortunate this week to be able to attend talk and some seminars locally here from Tridex Vice President, and it was really interesting to see some of the facts and figures that they've put together, because we've been talking about on the radio in the spring, busiest spring real estate market we've ever seen. We've gone over the statistics. We're way ahead in house sales and what's going on with the house sales there. And so everybody's looking around and saying, what's happening? What's causing this? So one of the things to look at, and the very first statistic they lead with, is that since the year 2000, so for the last 15 years, the Tri-Cities has been named the fastest growing metropolitan area in Washington State.
No surprise.
And so that is huge. And I think a lot of times people don't realize how big we've come to be. What is considered in the Tri-Cities metropolitan area, the MSA that they call it, Benton County, so you have Kennewick, Richland, West Richland, Franklin County, and then including the city of Pasco there. The Tri-Cities metropolitan area, right now, the estimate, so the 2014 end of year estimate was that population was 273,000. Hmm. And I think a lot of people like to think, oh, how big's the Tri-Cities? Oh, it's about 150, you know, or you hear people say that. If you just take, and don't include the outlying areas, if you just take Kennewick, Richland, West Richland, and Pasco, it's nearly this year 210,000. And so that is big number, you know. Mm-hmm. We are really getting up there, you know, in the area as far as population growth. And once you get to kind of over that $200,000 number, what they were saying is that you begin to generate new job growth areas outside of Hanford. Couple that with, they showed some great information that basically, you know, we're currently working under a Hanford cleanup federal budget of around $2.2 billion. And that is looking to, if things go, they're in talks right now with Congress and everything. If things go the way they're projecting in October, they're looking at renewing that budget again, upping it from $2.2 billion to $2.5 billion. Hmm. And the numbers projected over the next 4 to 5 years were well over $3 billion. Hmm. So when you look at our job growth that we've got going on and our continued growth in the area, you start to figure out what's going on with, you know, with housing. Then you take a look at what has gone on in the media. And so they had some great, great rankings of what's gone on with Tri-Cities. So just recently, a great publication called NerdWallet goes through and looks at all the stats and everything. NerdWallet released last month that Tri-Cities was one of the top five best places to invest in real estate in Washington State. So one of the top markets in Washington State to invest in real estate. Time Magazine, September 2014, best place to find a new job, ranked number 12 in the nation. Number 7, top state for business, ranked number 7. So you've got a lot of people looking to the state. Cities on the Rise, a stately list, number 2 back in April of last year. And then number 8 was the metropolitan area with the most contented workers, a Gallup poll done last year in April. So we've got massive amounts of nationwide publicity talking about job growth, talking about our area, coupled with new infrastructure that we've been building and putting together. And that's leading to, and this is the question we always get, where are all these people coming from? And that's leading to job creation, which is going to be driving the economy. And so another statistic that they put out there that I really, really liked is that year to date, jobs created, we are 2,000 jobs ahead of last year's year to date number. So we're tracking with increases in production, employment increases at the site, budget increases. Right now, we have all of these factors driving demand right now. So a lot more people coming into the area, higher job creation. We need to build more houses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and so that's what ends up happening. And it was really nice to take a look at that and take a look at some of the things that we have going on here that are incredible. Another stat that came out of Tri-Deck is they looked at, for instance, our education. So the amount of people wanting to move here that have families that are looking for those good schools. If you look at, for instance, SAT scores, and you look at the state averages, 510 in reading, 491 in writing, 518 in math. You look at Richland, for instance, has 526 versus 510 in reading, 504 versus 491 in writing, 539 versus 518 in math. So you look at very high education scores coming out of our communities versus the national average. A lot of that goes back to a teacher-student ratio of Richland is 1 to 21, according to Tri-Dex brochure. Pasco is 1 to 17, and Kennewick's 1 to 19. So keeping those ratios at that level, the higher scores coming out of our communities. It's just a lot of great, great things happening right now, and that's driving demand, that's driving growth, and currently it's driving a low inventory of homes in the Tri-Cities market. And so those are some of the things that we are dealing with right now, and it's all very, very positive. And so I just wanted to kind of give, because that's the question we get asked a lot from folks, it's just, where are all these people coming from? And, you know, we're getting a lot of, you know, a lot of people are picking up on that job growth. And anytime you have change in a community, up or down, that's going to be movement in the housing market. And so those are some of our key indicated drivers that are going on. Also interesting to note, too, when you look at our cost of living housing index, we're ranked at 101. But to give you perspective of that, the cost of living housing index for Seattle is, say, 165 versus 101. So 65% higher there. Portland, 160, 60% higher. So you start to see some of those metropolitan averages being way higher. So job growth and employment here on this side of the state, coupled with a lower cost of living in your housing index, once again, very, very attractive. So those are some of the keys that are really driving growth here.
You know, Lance, you just touched on it. Like, we need more houses. And when you think about all these people coming in, they got to have a place to live. And when you need more houses get built. And what is it, 29 different trades go into building a house?
That's exactly right. And so that's a whole nother industry of support.
Yeah. And all new jobs get created as a result of having more houses that need to be built.
And so when you look at what's going on with those budgets, I mean, the next 20 years, you know, there's some great, great numbers happening. So we're super excited to be your go-to provider for real estate services in that market, looking forward the next 20 years, also looking forward with exactly what's happening right now. Even with the inventory we got, we've got some great, great new listings that we just put on the market. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of that new inventory, those new listings, and then we're going to talk to Tom a little bit about what's going on in the lending world.
Right here on News Talk 870. In the middle of our street, our
house. In the middle of our street, our house. Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've kind of been going over some factors in the economy, job growth, and really what is driving the local market right now. One of the keys to that, though, is generally when it comes down to buying that house, is we need to take a look at the mortgage, the money that we're going to use on that, and we turn that to Tom Coyne at Umpqua over there. Tom, how are you doing?
Lance, I'm doing great, but I wanted to talk today about interest rates, what they're doing right now, and what drives these interest rates. Now, this last week, mortgage rates hit a dangerously high to 2015 highs, so the highest it's basically been all year long. Now, according to Mortgage News Daily, over the last 3 weeks, there's only been 2 days where rates actually improved. So 2 days over a three-week period where we see improvements is not good if you're wanting to buy a house here in the coming future. Now, 4 of the past 6 days have actually seen uncommonly higher moves than we're used to seeing. Now, these sorts of moves, we generally only see 2 to 3 times a month. So to see 4 of them in just over a week, it's a little bit alarming. But according to Mortgage News Daily, several major lenders across the United States are now up to as high as 4% on a 30-year fix. And even for that's for top-tier scenarios. Though some still remain at the 3.875, and just as short as a week ago, rates were down at 3.625. So that kind of gives you an idea of how much movement there's been in just the last couple of weeks there. Now, there's only been one day in 2015 where rates were higher than they were this last week. Now, before that, you'd have to go all the way back to November to see rates at this levels. Now, recent weakness in the rates should definitely be taken seriously, and means people should be taking a more defensive strategy when considering whether they should lock or float the loan. Now, I highly suggest that for my clients that they're buying right now, we're locking in as soon as we can. Now, history suggests we might see a temporary relief where rates dip back down, but just as equal as we could see that, we could see rates continue to rise. So I just think there's no reason for someone who's building a house, getting ready to buy, to take that risk of floating a rate. As soon as you're under contract on a property, you should be looking to lock in. It's just a safer move for you right now. Now, this last week, total mortgage applications fell 4.6%, and this is according to Mortgage Bankers Association. And I think we can attribute this to probably a lot of refinance transactions, where as soon as you see rates go up, you'll see the refinance transactions immediately drop, where we don't see as immediate of an impact on purchase applications. Now, in the short run, I actually think that you might see purchase applications actually rise, where people who are on the fence or considering buying, or maybe they're thinking they're going to take more time to shop around, as they see rates start to increase, they decide maybe I better move quicker and get into my house sooner, where this last week actually purchase applications rose by 1%. So there was such a drop in refinance applications that that total number of applications again fell a total of 4.6%. Now, I want to talk about what drives these interest rates. When someone gets a mortgage from a bank, that mortgage is then usually sold on another marketplace to a secondary lender. Now, this happens in the same way that stocks and bonds are traded on a regular basis. So are mortgage-backed securities. They work on a supply and demand system, just like stock. So if there's a higher demand, then interest rates rise. And if demand falls, then they have to decrease those interest rates to help fuel more demand. Now, the change in the 10-year treasury is thought to be the best indicator of mortgage rates. Now, most mortgages are paid off or refinanced around the 10th year. So that's what makes that 10-year treasury a comparable benchmark to mortgage-backed securities. Now, mortgage-backed securities and rates move in the same direction as the 10-year treasury, but they might not move by the same amount of percentage on a day-by-day basis. Now, lastly, the third biggest thing that is the main driving factor for rates is what's called the risk premium. Now, investors buying mortgage-backed securities, who are the main credit providers to mortgage borrowers. Now, to take that step back, generally, when you go to a bank, you're not getting the bank's money. You're getting an investor's money that the bank is working with. So these investors that are supplying these mortgage-backed securities usually add about 170 basis points to the cost of the rate, and that equates to about 1.75% of the loan amount in the form of a risk premium. Now, what that risk premium does, and it's built into every mortgage, it takes into account the possibility that a client may default on their loan and go into foreclosure and not be able to repay the original balance due, or if they are to pay off the loan faster than what is expected by the investor. So a mortgage investor who provides these mortgage-backed securities, they want to see you have the loan through the term, but they expect that, okay, around 10 years is when we'll typically see these mortgages paid off. And until those long time periods go by, they don't have enough time to recoup that interest that you're paying. Now, if there's also a lot of period of defaults, so if we go through time where there's a lot of defaults going on, a lot of people go into foreclosure, that risk premium has to be increased, and that helps offset that risk of those defaults. But conversely, in a period of low defaults, that risk premium could be lowered, thus lowering interest rates. Now, this is just the tip of the iceberg, because basically anything that happens, you know, internationally, whether it's in politics or the economy or some, world event, can fluctuate interest rates. But these are generally what people consider as the three main driving factors on interest rates. It'll be interesting to see, though, what happens with rates, and are we going to see them soften and kind of come back down, or is this the start of the rise? You know, only time will tell.
Yeah, I mean, it is a very complicated subject, and I think one of the only ways to simplify it, like you said, is, you know, I've always liked when you presented the historic rate and just said, you know, here's a graph historically where we're at, and we're, mm-hmm. you know, in that trough or near the bottom, you know, and at some point it goes back up when you look at that over a 50-year time period. And so really identifying that and knowing that likely the only way is up at this point. Like you said, it's if someone's approved at a certain rate in new construction and you've got 3.5 months till that house is done, if you're close on your ratios, you probably need to lock in, because if that rate goes up, you could actually become unqualified for the mortgage, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So I always try to give, when I tell someone what they can get approved up to, I try to leave a little bit of room in what we call the debt to income. So if things happen that we don't control, like interest rates increasing, which will cause a payment to increase, then debt to income increases. I don't want to find ourselves in a situation where they're no longer approved. So I try to give myself a little bit of breathing room when possible. possible when telling someone what's the maximum they can go to, because you just don't know. And the worst thing that could happen, someone starts building a house, now interest rates go up, they haven't come and talked to me about doing our 6-month rate lock special, and now they don't qualify for that house. So if you're thinking about building, let's talk about a 6-month rate lock. We just actually incorporated a new piece to that where we will allow a float down option in the last 30 days of closing if rates are better. So if you're building, absolutely be looking at a 6-month rate lock. But like I said, it'll be interesting to see if we're at the start of the rise or if this is just a temporary hiccup and they soften a little bit.
Sounds good. Well, we'll definitely keep our listeners and clients informed of that as we move forward here. Thanks for that info, Tom.
That was a semester's worth of knowledge.
Yeah, I was going back to my Econ 101 days there for sure. So it's a lot to watch, and I'm glad somebody else smarter than me is keeping an eye on it for us and our clients.
I'll have to admit, I did a little research to get this show prepared.
Good.
But no, well, you touched on it earlier when you're comparing rates to historical rates. In 2012, you might remember from the show we did a while back, that was the lowest average 30-year fixed rate in history. And we're about 0.375% off of that right now. And so when you say that, like, okay, we're 0.375% of higher than the lowest it's ever been. Sure, is there room to go down? Yeah, maybe a little. But how much room is there to go up? A lot.
Yeah.
So we are still very spoiled if we think our rates are bad right now.
No, that's really good. Good information, and good for clients to know that maybe have been on the fence like you talked about. We always like to get in our new inventory, and I've got three amazing brand new listings that we just put on. Listing number one, this is really a one-of-a-kind estate type home. And this is another one. I think we've sold four this year, five this year already on the Yakima River.
Wow.
Well, here's another one just outside of Benton City on the Yakima River. This is 27022 North Hanson Road. And this is a 3-bedroom, 3-bath with a bonus room, riverfront property with amazing views. This house has bamboo floors in it, double-sided fireplace, almost 3,000 square feet, large kitchen, large island, custom built-in cabinets. Master suite offers a slider right out to the deck. Master bathroom with heated tile floors. I mean, they went all out for this property. It's got the geothermal furnace, extremely, extremely efficient. Very, very private road, private access, but yet you're close to the freeway, so it's very easy to get back into town. And that's priced at $525,000. And to get a newer, dialed-in property like that on the river for around that 500 mark is incredible. So that's a great property. Anybody been looking for that, please let us know. We'd love to take a look at it with them. Pick number two, 4802 South Washington Place in Kennewick. This house is fantastic. It's a 4-bedroom, 3-bath home, great neighborhood, 2,500 square feet. It's got the beautiful big front porch that kind of invites you into a formal living and dining room. It's got hardwood floors, Corian countertops, tile backsplash, large family room with a fireplace, and then a huge, huge master suite with a big master bathroom. You've got an in-ground swimming pool, and it's priced at $250,000.
A pool?
Yeah, to get the pool coming into summer and all of that. Absolutely fantastic. Pick number three, I've got 2212 North Nevada Court. Now, this is a very well updated and maintained. It's a 2-bed, 2-bath home in West Kennewick, 1,536 square feet. You've got a beautiful kitchen with built-in double ovens, master suite with a walk-in closet, fully fenced backyard, large fire pit area, and this is priced at $119,900. So to get into West Kennewick for 1,536 square feet with RV and boat parking at $119,900, we've got some great, great inventory. So things have been moving very, very quickly. Once again, I can't stress enough in the local market a couple things. I wrote down a few extra points for today's show, and that was – number one is below 250, we're still seeing a lot of multiple offers. Be prepared for this. Be extremely well prepared for this. If you're shopping with your agent, if you want to shop for homes, please contact my team and we will get you with Tom. Being prepared for this is having your pre-approval ready to go. Having your pre-approval and your proof of funds ready to go. In multiple offer situations, strange things happen. You have deadlines. You get two or three deadlines put on the offers, and sometimes the seller wants to respond before those deadlines with the best offers. If you could be a higher priced offer, but you might not have a pre-approval letter. The only mechanism for that seller to know you're pre-approved at that point is either providing proof of funds through copies of bank statements, letters from investment people that you work with, along with a pre-approval letter, shows that you're ready to go. When we sit down with sellers and review these offers in multiple offer situations, first question that they ask, they look at which ones are pre-approved. If they're looking at offers without pre-approvals or ones that say, I'll get it to you in 3 or 4 days, they're immediately deemed as not as serious, maybe potentially could have more problems. So please get with Tom Coyne at Umpqua and his team. Get that letter in hand so that you don't lose out. I feel bad for the people when they do that because they've either missed a step or have not been prepared for that. And if that truly was the house they wanted, a lot of times they're not able to get it. The second thing I wrote down, too, is that sellers have a lot of options available to them. I mean, it is like the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight when you go into multiple offer situations. Be ready to throw some punches, okay? Because, and people do not, it's not fair. I will tell people a lot of times that that process can be extremely unfair and the seller can pick whatever negotiation strategy that they want. A lot of times I feel that buyers are inaccurately counseled that a seller is going to return to what's called a highest and best situation. And a lot of times people will say, let's just get the offer in. And then what will happen is if we're in multiple offer position, they will call us back and give us a deadline and say that to bring your highest and best. And then that's when we can show how great we are. Well, the highest and best scenario with a seller, that is only one of many, many, many negotiation strategies that a seller could pick. A seller might feel that they have all of those offers at one point, 3 or 4 offers. There might be one offer that is so much better that they want to accept that offer instead of even worrying that if they mess with the other offers or do that, that it could potentially irritate the buyer with the best offer and that buyer might go away.
Well, it sounds like in that scenario, one person decided to come with their highest and best, best foot forward from the start and the others were,
Absolutely. And if they're not properly counseled to that positioning, it can cause them to lose a property that they otherwise might have gotten. So, like I said, there are so many different options that can come into play. And it really is just, it's a tough situation. And buyers have to be extremely competitive in those situations and do some creative things to make that work. So if you have any questions about that, if people have gone through those scenarios and have questions about how that process can work, please let us know. Our team is very versed on that. We study a lot of the attorneys. Our local attorneys put out a lot of seminars and videos about these discussions, these strategies. And so we've done a lot of training on this to make sure that we're ready to go into that fight and make it, you know, a fair fight for the people that are in there and working in that game. So those were a couple notes that I wrote down about just a few key points about what's going on right now in the local market. As we wrap up here, I really want to thank TriDeck, our local TriDeck, for really having these brochures, these fact sheets, and these figures put together that help showcase our community and give us an idea for what's going on in the Tri-Cities. So thanks for that. We'll be out here selling property. Tom's going to be working on the money for that. Tom, how can people get a hold of you to get those pre-approvals in hand?
You know, feel free to go to my website anytime, tomcoinhomeloans.com, or call me at the office, 783-7300.
Feel free, too, to check us out if you missed any of that at kenmoreteam.com, and we'll be right back here next weekend.
Right here on News Talk 870.